Seven Secrets of a Phenomenal Life. Written by Howard Partridge. Narrated by Howard Partridge.
Introduction. You are a phenomenal product. In 1998, I launched Phenomenal Products to help others improve their businesses. I asked my early mentor, Bill Beckham, to speak at one of my conferences. As he opened his presentation, he said to the audience, "I'm sure Howard's products are phenomenal, but I'm here to tell you that you are a phenomenal product." He went on to say that all of us are created to be phenomenal, to do phenomenal things, and to have a phenomenal life. Everyone wants a phenomenal life. Few live it out. Many people in America aren't truly happy with their lives, and my goal for this book is to help you discover what a phenomenal life means to you and how to have it. If you own your own business, I wonder if you remember why you went into business for yourself to start with. Was it to make a lot of money, or was it really to be your own boss, to chart your own course, to have a little more free time? Yeah, right. If you've been in business for a while, it probably feels more like a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day J-O-B. The brutal reality of most small business owners' lives is you feel like a slave to the business, there's very little family time, the business consumes your mind 24/7, there's major stress, no real freedom, and you feel like you have a job rather than a business. Your day is consumed putting out brush fires. In the following pages, I will show you how to break free from the demands of your everyday business and transform it into a predictable, profitable, turnkey business. I've done it, and I've helped others do the same. Be, do, have. Everyone wants to have a phenomenal life. No one wants an average existence, but you may be settling for that, and that's a shame because if you live in America, you live in the greatest country on earth where you can have whatever you want, do whatever you want, and be the person you want to be. If you own a business, I'm sure that you want that business to be phenomenally successful. You may not know it yet, but owning a business in the United States puts you in a position of incredible influence. You can have more impact on your community than almost any other institution. This book is about having the life you're created to have. It's about having the business you're supposed to have. It's about having the amount of money that's right for you. It's about having the body you were created to have. It's about having the knowledge you need to achieve your life goals. It's about having phenomenal relationships with those around you. And finally, it's about having a phenomenal spiritual life. My good friend Zig Ziglar says that in order to have something different, you've got to do something different. For example, if I want to have more money, I've got to do something different than I'm doing now. It won't just fall in my lap. If I want to have better relationships, I have to do something toward working on those relationships. If I want to have a stronger, healthier body, I've got to do something about it. I think we get that. What we may not understand is this. In order to consistently do something different, you've got to be something different. You've got to change. You've got to become a different person than you are today. That may sound a little scary to you, but I can tell you from personal experience that being willing to change is the key to having a phenomenal life. I'm a different person than I was 20 years ago. I'm a different person than I was 5 years ago. I'm a different person than I was yesterday. Why? Because I've built a habit of learning. I've created the habit of change. Being willing to change has helped me live a life I only imagined. Becoming a different person has helped me to do different things, which has allowed me to have things in life I never had before. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be someone I'm not. On the contrary, I'm learning who I really am. Being aware of my habits and what's working and what's not, and being willing to change helps me grow so that I can be a better person. I hope to be a different, better person tomorrow based on what I learned today. I'm learning who Howard Partridge is, what his purpose is, and what he was created to be. And more importantly, what he is called to do with his time on this planet. If you are willing to become a different person than you are now, you will be able to consistently do different things than you are doing now, so that you can have the things you want out of life. My goal is to help you accomplish that. And what you'll learn is that you won't consistently do things that are inconsistent with how you see yourself. I believe I learned this from Zig Ziglar, who gives Dr. Joyce Brothers the credit. Zig talks a lot about self-image. He also says that you are what you are and where you are because of what you put into your mind, which means you can change what you are and where you are and what you have by changing what goes into your mind. So we'll work on that. I hope that the following pages will convince you that you are a phenomenal product, created to do phenomenal things so that you can have a phenomenal life, the phenomenal life that you are created to have. I'm originally from L.A., Lower Alabama. I grew up on welfare in Mobile, Alabama. There were seven kids crammed in a little 600-square-foot shack. The roof on that house was so bad that every time it rained, we had to get out all the pots and pans to catch the leaks. The house was on concrete blocks, so there was no slab. It had a teeny tiny shower, no bathtub, with barely enough room to turn around. One day, my stepdad got in, and it fell through to the ground. We propped it up with tree stumps, which created a gap between the shower floor and the rotten sheetrock. If the soap was dropped and bounced the wrong way, it would be in the dirt under the house. We invented soap on a rope. My little mama somehow fed us on $100 a month from the welfare department, and I still remember getting Christmas presents from the social workers to this day. My real dad left when I was only a year old, and I didn't get to meet him until I was 15. The only time I recall seeing him was at my grandfather's funeral. I must have been about 5 years old at the time. As I stood on the sidewalk of the funeral home with my family, a long black limousine passed by, and someone said, "There's your father." The back window of the car was rolled down on his side, and I caught a glimpse of him. When he saw us, he placed a handkerchief over his face. He must have been so ashamed. Little did I know that he would become a significant part of my life later on. How does a childhood like that usually turn out? Well, you become a pot-smoking, hell-raising teenager. When I was 18, I got in a fight with my stepdad, who, by the way, took on seven kids and got us off welfare, over my pot-smoking habit. He told me not to come back until I learned what pot would do to me. This event turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. I had no money. At the time, my sister was visiting my real dad in Houston, whom I'd only met twice at this point. My friend and I scraped up $39.95 for a Greyhound bus ticket to Houston. I wasn't really sure that my dad would actually take me in, but I knew my sister would find a way. When I stepped off that bus in downtown Houston, I literally had 25 cents in my pocket. No bank account, no credit card. That's all I had to my name. My real dad was there to pick me up, and I lived with him and his new family, who I became very close to, for about a year. I made sure to patch things up back home in Alabama, too. Although both daddies are gone now, I have a great relationship with both of my families today, for which I'm very grateful. After a few odd jobs in Houston, I became a professional waiter, and I worked in these high-end restaurants where we did this flaming tableside cooking, wearing a tuxedo. I learned how to make a lot of great dishes at the table: steak Diane, pepper steak, Caesar salad dressing from scratch, hot spinach salad, bananas Foster, cherries Jubilee, and many more. Setting stuff on fire inside was very cool indeed. During my years as a waiter, I learned a great deal about the customer service experience. But I always wanted to have my own business. I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. As a kid, I cut grass. I picked up pine cones. I sold stuff door to door. and I did anything I could to make money. As I waited for that last table to leave each night, I scratched out business ideas on my waiter's pad. But I still had no money to speak of. I made just enough to pay the bills. That's when I met my future wife, Denise Conjette Antoinette Pinella. Now that's Italian. I went to New Jersey to get married to Denise, and when you marry into an Italian family, you don't get wedding presents like dishes, toasters, and blenders. Instead, you get cash. We got $3,000 in wedding money, and while we were in New Jersey, there was a friend of the family who was my age, 23 at the time, tooling around a little red Mercedes convertible. I said to myself, I want to know what that guy does, and I want to know if it's legal. Turned out he owned a business, so as soon as I got back to Houston, I spent all of our wedding money to start a business. My wife was really thrilled about that, let me tell you. So I started my first business out of the trunk of my car. I still own that business today. Over 13 long years, I got it up to about $30,000 a month. I was making good money, but I had become a slave to the business. Everything revolved around me. I couldn't go on vacation without the appointment book or spending much of the vacation solving problems over the phone. If you're a small business owner and you've been in business for a while, you know what I mean. Two secrets that changed my life forever. My mentor, Bill Beckham, would come to my office about once a week to talk and pray with me. As he observed how involved I had to be in every little detail of the business and how dependent it was on me, he recommended I read The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. That book changed my business and my life forever. After reading The E-Myth, I took a week off and I went to my favorite place in the whole world, Destin, Florida, and I sat on the beach and recreated my future. The first secret I learned was how to build a turnkey business, one that operates just as well without you as it does with you. I learned how to work on the business instead of just in it, as the E-Myth says. The second secret I learned, also from the E-Myth, is that the only reason your business exists is to help you achieve your life goals. You went into business for yourself because you had a dream of having more time for your family, a dream of doing what you want when you want. Instead, you sometimes feel like a slave to the business. That's what I felt like. I was literally a prisoner of my own making. Don't get me wrong, I loved serving my customers and doing the technical work of the business, but now I saw a different picture. I saw that I could have a turnkey business. I recruited two friendly competitors to join my team, and we began working on our systems. That business skyrocketed to almost $3 million per year. And the best part is that it is turnkey, which means I don't have to be involved in the day-to-day. I have a staff of 27 that run my companies for me. In 1998, I began teaching my systems to other business owners through information products, seminars, and coaching. As it turns out, I was speaking at the same convention as Michael Gerber, the author of the book that changed my life, The E-Myth Revisited. The seminar promoter arranged for us to meet over breakfast. Since that breakfast meeting in Las Vegas, Michael has not only presented at my live events, he's become a great friend and mentor to me. I talk to him several times a year, and I will always be grateful to him for changing my business life. I love Michael, and he is a brilliant, incredibly gifted man. Since that time, I've had partners, bought and sold businesses, and even started a franchise operation. My live events have included world-famous American legend Zig Ziglar, best-selling authors Tamara Lowe, who runs Get Motivated, the largest business seminars in the world with her husband Peter, Bob Berg, the author of Endless Referrals and The Go-Giver, Dr. Joseph A. Michelli, author of The Starbucks Experience, and others. And I've been recognized by Dr. John C. Maxwell, the number one leadership expert in the world. I'm especially grateful for my relationship with the Ziglar Corporation. I've been blessed to not only share the stage with Zig and to be featured on their live webcast, but to enjoy a close personal relationship with the entire Ziglar family and team. And I recently launched their very first coaching program for business owners. Some years ago, when I still had a very small business and a very small staff, I was part of a local industry group that met every week to talk about ways to improve our businesses. There were about a dozen people that met every Monday morning. They complained about the economy and how customers wouldn't pay their price. They had what Zig calls stinking thinking, and they needed a checkup from the neck up, as Zig would say. Some of them were wearing cut-off blue jeans, flip-flops, and hadn't shaved, and they wondered why they didn't have much business. I strolled in, carrying a briefcase, in a sport coat and tie, wearing a positive attitude. They literally laughed at me and said, "Who do you think you are? Zig Ziglar or somebody?" The funny thing is, I didn't know Zig Ziglar at the time. Little did they know, they were speaking prophecy.